this Monroe City Council meeting to order. This is a regular business meeting for Tuesday, April 22nd. The time is now 7:00 p.m. Could you give us a roll call, please?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Yuri.
Thank you. And for last week's meeting, Councilmember Gamble is not here today. We'll go ahead and begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Camp, will you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda today under announcements and presentations is a presentation from Housing Hope. Mr. Sastrom is here, present to give a presentation. Thank you very much for coming this evening.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very happy to be here. I've lost so many familiar faces here already, so it's been very much a home. We've known that Everlight, born and raised, Monroe is still very close. So we've been working here for a long time now, so we've become very familiar with Monroe. And I've been very excited to tell you a little bit about, you know, not a lot about the history, but just a little bit about how we got to this point and then and what we're doing today. Housing Hope, let's see, this is... Is it this button right here? There you go.
I was just going like that.
There you go, okay. Housing Hope was formed in 1987 in Everett by the North Snohomish County Council of Churches. The churches were experiencing family homelessness in a way that had not been seen before in the county. And it was a growing problem that they just were not capable of handling on their own. So they determined that the solution was forming a housing development corporation that they would support and develop the professional capability to be able to address this growing problem. Housing Hope, although it was formed by the Council of Churches, is not a faith-based organization. It is a community organization, nonprofit, 501(c)(3). And then in 2003, in response to an invitation from the Sky Valley Homeless Task Force, we're invited to come out here to the East County, here in Monroe, and to talk about what might be done to assist that group to address the similar problems here in on the east side. It was decided that rather than form their own nonprofit, they invited us to come out and work with them to help address this problem, which we agreed to do with one condition, and that condition being that they stay involved. So we formed an East County Regional Board. Your friend Tony Balk was the first president of that board and served in that capacity for many years. And that board continues on today from a staff viewpoint, is led by Nate Whelan from our staff, who many of you I know. So, there we go. Housing Hope today has grown enormously. Really, you see, these are all of our different locations throughout Snohomish County. As I said earlier, we started in Everett, so there's a concentration of facilities in Everett. We expanded and focused on the North Region in Stanwood, Arlington, and Marysville for many years. And then turned our attention to the east side, and you can see that we have several projects in Monroe, but also Goldmar, Fulton, and Snohomish. So our philosophy is that when a family becomes homeless, it makes little sense for them to relocate into Everett or any other city where services might be available. The reason being is that they have some support structures generally there, whether their kids are in school, they have friends, neighbors, possibly possibly a church connection, and to uproot them and to move them into Everett just adds to their problem. It doesn't help solve it. The other thing it does is it allows communities to help take care of their own, to recognize what their own community's problem with homelessness and low-income households are, and to assist in addressing that need. So we think that this is a approach that makes a lot of sense. So today, after our two developments that are currently in process, we are going to have a total of 678 units developed. Of those, 158 are on the east side. And in Monroe, we will have 30 units addressing homeless housing. All of those are for families with children. We'll have 31 affordable housing units, also families with children. And we will have assisted 43 families to achieve homeownership through our Team Home Building program. Team Home Building is a program that we started off here in Monroe with. We take between 5 and 10 families, we put them together, we arrange financing for them, and we help them to build their own homes. Each of them build each other's homes. No one moves in until all the houses are complete. And when it's said and done, their sweat equity has accounted for a down payment. These households may have incomes as low as about $30,000, some of them even a little lower than that under this program, and still can become homeowners and have an affordable home mortgage payment. It's a fabulous program. Not only do they earn a home, but they also create their own neighborhood. If you can imagine with your neighbors spending a year with them in building their house, taking care of their kids, working through the natural conflicts that you would in that kind of a process, you really develop a community along the way. So, this was our first Team Home Building project in Monroe. This is 179 Hospital Road. This is Sky Meadows East, and across the road, Sky Meadows West. These are 8 units in duplex buildings. And this is Barbie Gardens off Curry Road on Roma Road there. And these are, you know, faces of some of your citizens here in Monroe celebrating what we call a key ceremony, where they receive keys to their own homes. And the next Team Home Building project is going to be almost right across the street from where we're located here on West Main Street near Dennis Way. And this is the Monroe Main Street Townhomes. This will be 13 townhomes, and we are probably around 30 days from closing financing and getting this project underway. It's been a little bit delayed. We ran into a bit of a catch-22, and we actually had to go to HUD in D.C. and get them to waive a provision of their policy, and they did. So we are moving forward. Our first rental program here in Monroe is Woods Creek Village. This is on Fremont Street. It was developed in two phases. We took two fourplex buildings that were in, frankly, very sorry condition. We acquired them from an estate. We completely rehab these buildings inside and out. They're in marvelous shape, the building down at the bottom here. And added these additional 6 units on the right along with community space. And it's a program that, a property that I think is serving your community very well, with 6 units dedicated to serving homeless households with children. And those are another view of the 2 remodeled duplex buildings. I show this because this is a recent development of a larger scale. This is 24 units in Stanwood that we developed a couple years ago. And the quality of this project is going to be very similar to the project of the Monroe Family Village project that we are embarking on now. So this just gives you a little bit of a view of, although the architecture is different, gives you an idea of the quality and what we should expect here with Monroe Family Village in Monroe. These are the pencil drawings from the architect, and it just gives you a bit of an idea on the elevations for this project. Dykeman Architects is an architect that we've worked with for a long time on several projects, and we're very pleased to have them on board for this project. Kurt Nicole, some of you may be familiar with, has been selected as a general contractor for the project. So they are gearing up to begin construction in early June. We are closing financing in May. And so we are right around the corner. So the project features is that we have 47 units, 32 two-bedrooms, 15 three-bedrooms. There's 10 units that are transitional housing for homeless households with children. 14 units that are transitional housing for extremely low-income households with children, and 23 units that are for very low-income households with children. There's going to be common areas for program delivery, and the project is going to meet the state's Evergreen standard for clean design. For the service sub program, we will have on-site property management. We have in-home case management for the formerly homeless households. We have a basic life skill program, training through the agency's College of Hope program. And we have an economic empowerment program that is targeted towards assisting these families towards a middle-wage job. A middle-wage job in this community runs about $17 or $18 an hour. And it is sufficient, although that family would need to pay a high proportion of their income for housing, it is sufficient that they can be self-sufficient. So that is our target. We differ from many of the sort of the current vogue in our industry, which is rapid rehousing. Rapid rehousing says that you just provide a family about 2 or 3 months of short-term rental assistance, and they'll be fine. It's just not our experience. These families have very significant challenges, often come from intergenerational poverty, and need some intensive help for them to escape poverty. We are not satisfied with simply solving homelessness. Our objective is to solve the issue of poverty, which is the long-term solution, not just for the adults in the household, but also for the children in the household. So that is what our dedication is, and that is what we will do for these families in these households. Looking at the funding for a project like this, it is extremely complex. We've been working on this for a long time because we need to pull together several funders to make it happen. It begins with the Housing Authority of Somers County, who has provided 24 project-based vouchers. For the project, what that does is it provides sufficient rental income so that we can secure a bond, which we have through the Washington State Housing Finance Commission for $4.25 million. We have secured low-income housing tax credits that will contribute $3.15 million. We have a grant from the State of Washington Housing Trust Fund of $1.85 million. Somers County Home Program, which is a HUD program, has granted $1,725,000. Housing Hope's fundraising for the project is contributing $1,250,000 to the project, including $50,000 that is being raised in the City of Monroe by our East County Board. And the City of Monroe has fee exemptions along with the Monroe School District that totals approximately $400,000. Total project funding cost is about $12.625 million. So we are very, very grateful to the community, to the council, to the mayor, to the staff for all of your work, all of your support here for many, many years now. We are very, very excited. We have an annual East County Community Dinner. I know that many of you have been to that dinner. We raised about $45,000 in debt at that dinner, benefiting this program in this community. That is about a 25% increase over what we saw last year, which is about a 25% increase over what we saw the year before. There is tremendous community support, tremendous community enthusiasm for the work that's taking place here. So my hat's off to you for the leadership that you provided in this community, for the wonderful community that you have the pleasure to deliver the work in. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to take them.
Thank you very much, Brad. Anybody have any questions? I want to thank you very much for the investment you're making in our Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Fred, thank you for coming and speaking to us. I don't have any questions. I actually just want to speak to Housing Hope. I learned of Housing Hope through the company I work with and was invited one day to, with a colleague to go visit the Everett campus. And I think that was probably one of the most memorable visits I've ever had to an organization that I walked away from that visit going, this is an organization that has truly helped to help and not just provide something, but actually make a life change. And so coming there and seeing how involved and learning more about it, and especially Monroe Benwin Village, I'm pretty excited how, you know, that they're coming here with Monroe Benwin Village and, you know, the impact it's going to have on our community. So thank you very much. If anyone has a chance to go visit Everett's campus, I would certainly encourage them to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Councilmember Kovac.
Oh, Councilmember Camp was first.
Is that first?
Yeah.
Councilmember Camp.
Again, no questions. I have been, I was fortunate to be able to attend two of the key ceremonies. The impact on the community and when you said community building, it is so accurate watching the people who have spent a year building it and hearing their stories of the trials and tribulations and seeing the smiles on their faces and the tears as they walk in the door is exceptional. And I want to thank you again for her group.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Fennett.
It is so fun at those key ceremonies that they all get their keys and they have the moving band sitting at the end of the room. And then immediately they're going there with the moving bands and backing them up to the house and moving in. It is fun.
Thank you. I want to thank you, Fred and Nate, for talking to Nate for your service. You guys do a great job, and Housing Hope has a great reputation. It's done a lot of great work. Just a question, were there homes going, was there a French Creek?
Yes.
Yes.
So
where is that at, and how many units were there?
Yes, there are two projects. Those are both team home building projects,
right.
And they're both, each of them are 10 lots. I didn't mention them because they're outside the city limits.
Right.
The first is Rose Park, and it is complete, and we have the key ceremony.
Three or four weeks.
French Creek is under construction. Both of them in that general location back there.
Right. I've heard really positive things about that.
So again, thank you very much for coming out this evening and for everything your organization is doing here in the community. And I just want to, one of the things that the Monroe Family Village is going to do, you're also helping people that don't just live there. Is that correct? You have an office there where you're helping people learn skills and things like that.
Yes. So the community space is designed essentially as a classroom where we will be teaching skills to the residents. And there's also a larger room for the kids where they will have a similar program while the adults are receiving their training. You know, the kids oftentimes receive parallel training. So if the adults are learning about finances, the kids may be running a store. And so they can talk about money when they go home and have a common experience. So that program will take place there, yes.
You have an arrangement in that sort of facility in other cities as well, or?
We do. Each project has that kind of space to serve its residents. This project actually is a little bit broader. We call it a regional service center because of its central location here in Monroe. So the case manager and the property manager that is working this region is going to be located at this site. And for the, I'll mention also, give a shout out to Take the Next Step. Our College of Hope program works in conjunction with Take the Next Step here in Monroe. And I'll give a shout out to the YMCA too, because the YMCA has been a wonderful partner for Housing Hope and helping to serve our families.
Well, thank you again very much for coming out to Monroe and your presentation and everything you're doing.
Thank you very much. All right.
Okay, next item that we have on our agenda this evening, also under announcements and presentations, is proclamation for National Day of Prayer. So we'll go ahead and read this into the record. So proclamation, National Day of Prayer, whereas Americans have long turned to prayer both in times of joy and times of sorrow, and their voyage to the New World, the earliest settlers prayed that they would rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in the work. From that day forward, Americans have prayed as a means of uniting, guiding, and healing. In times of hardship and tragedy, and in periods of peace and prosperity, prayer has provided reassurance, sustenance, and affirmation of common purpose. And whereas prayer brings communities together and can be a wellspring of strength and support, in the aftermath of senseless acts of violence, the prayers of countless Americans signal to grieving families and a suffering community that they are not alone. Their pain is a shared pain, and their hope is a shared hope. Regardless of religion or creed, Americans reflect on the sacredness of life and express their sympathy for the wounded, offering comfort and holding up a light in an hour of darkness. And whereas all of us have the freedom to pray and exercise our faiths openly, our laws protect these God-given liberties, and rightly so. Today and every day, prayers will be offered in houses of worship, at community gatherings, in our homes, and in our neighborhoods all across our country. Let us give thanks for the freedom to practice our faith as we see fit, whether individually or in fellowship. And whereas on this day, let us remember in our hearts and prayers all of us affected by recent events such as the Oso landslide. Let us pray for the police officers, firefighters, and other first responders who put themselves in harm's way to protect their fellow Americans. Let us also pray for the safety of our brave men and women in uniform and their families who serve and sacrifice for our country. Let us come together to pray for peace and goodwill today and in the days ahead as we work to meet the great challenges of our time. And whereas annually the President of the United States of America issues a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as a National Day of Prayer, therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor of the City of Monroe, Washington, do hereby support and encourage the residents of Monroe to join me on May 1st, 2014 in observing the National Day of Prayer and joining the citizens of our nation in giving thanks in accordance with our faiths and consciences for many freedoms and blessings and asking for God's continued guidance, mercy, and protection. Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Hanford. The next item on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Do we have a sign in sheet for this evening? Okay. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to come forward to say any words? Pastor? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Michael Lambert. I'm 1832-144th Street, Southeast Monroe, Washington. And I just wanted to invite you all to the National Day of Prayer service on May 1st, 7 o'clock at the Seventh-day Adventist Sanctuary in King Lake Road. We're going to be blessed to have the judges in the area there, as well as the state legislators and the Snohomish County Executive, General Lubbock, among others. So I hope you guys will all be able to be with us that time.
to speak this evening. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to move on to the student representative report.
And that is just coming out of
additional funds that are in the individual CIP funds.
The individual utility CIP funds. Thank you. The cash is available.
Yes, thank you. Any other questions? Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Just follow up on that question. So the cash is in there, but is there any other project then that is going to be cut back on, or does that affect anything else? So just because it's $90,000 more, there's something else that it affects?
Not short term. There's $90,000 less to spend on capital projects sometime in the future, but we're not delaying any projects by spending that additional money. And that actually will help us do a better job in the future of planning our projects by having this planned up.
Yeah. We have to do that. Yeah. I get that. Okay, thank you.
That's what we're hearing. Thank you.
Do we do this motion before we do the budget amendment? Do we need to have an amendment to put the money, to have the money available for it before we do this, or it's okay to do it in the order that's suggested?
Yeah, you just can't expend the money before the budget.
So no money will be between now, because you're not doing anything.
No, I mean, we told the story tomorrow, the money will be available before the budget amendment's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no financial, no legal issue with doing that, with having a 2-week gap between now and we actually do that. Okay.
And if for some reason you decided not to pass the budget amendment, then they would just hold over that portion, or they wouldn't do something else, right?
Right.
Because it's already part of the appropriation for the year.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Anything else? Okay. Anybody would like to make a motion? Councilmember Hanford.
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the consultant agreement with PHC Consultants, LLC, in the amount of $535,986 for the utility systems plans for water, sanitary sewer, and stormwater to support the comprehensive plan amendment. Comprehensive plan update, and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Thank you. And a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is final action. This is AB 14067, approval of resolution number 009-2014, hearing examiner's recommendation for Chain Lake Estates preliminary plat for residential development. I believe Mr. Fogel is to present your comments.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Back tonight with asking for final action approval of this preliminary plan. I do have an image if anybody would like to see it or refer to it.
It's your mind. I'd like to see the image. Thank you. Sorry,
that's right.
There.
I
just
had to hand that
over to Councilmember Hanford.
This is a 26 lot subdivision. You can see there's a single public street coming from Mountain Ridge Road. This is the formerly known as the, you know it as the Harris property. Mm-hmm. There was a proposal for assisted living some time ago, purchased by the Hansons, who are here tonight, the developer and builder for this. Let's say 26 lots. It is a preliminary plat and a planned residential development of a PRD. What that means, I think you know, is that there are higher standards for the development in terms of the street standards, the housing design standards, the central park space here, and actually a natural area in the east end of the project. This would be Chain Lake here. It also includes a secondary fire access, which also functions as a pedestrian path from the street out to Chain Lake and sidewalk all around the project. So I went through the review process, went to the hearing examiner last month, and the staff recommended approval, and the hearing examiner is also recommending approval of the plat and the PRD. I think that covered it for the moment. I'd be happy to take some questions.
Yes.
So, Mr.
Hanford.
The tragic grand, so is the Sunday best church on this corner up here?
It would be, is this going around the curve? Up this way.
And so that church would be over there, right?
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Let's see what we have.
Councilmember Gary? Appreciate it, thank you. I wanted to make sure, I thought this was like close record here, I didn't know if we can. There were just a number of conditions that Gary and Sandberg had put on there, and staff was there any issue with that? Was that just basically, okay, we're going to go, your staff was okay with the hearing examiner saying, let's do these things, we didn't receive any, did we receive any feedback that they're realistic, they're not realistic, did we get?
Really in the process, we did get, I think, 5 comments related to things like traffic, density, wetlands, wildlife, I think maybe one other. The owners did do an updated wetland study. There were actually 3 wetland studies done on this property, and none of them agreed. And the final result was that there are no wetlands on this property. There's a lot of conflicting information in the past. But I don't think there have been significant issues raised, and no one did testify at the public hearing. I think a number of the comments were addressed during the process. It's been a pretty smooth process. And all the conditions are, many of them are pretty standard, and there are some that are specific to this subdivision, but staff is forwarding all of these and as is the hearing examiner.
So my other question, thank you for that. So the fees, and we have, you know, over the last 4 years, a lot of discussions about fees and when they're paid, you know, kind of streamlining that process. It looks, I was just trying to remember some of our discussions that we had in the past, like traffic impact fees assessed, we required to pay prior to building permit issuance. I think a number of those, like, so that's before the building permit is when you get permission to build, is it not?
Correct, to build the houses.
So those are, all those fees are coming up front. I was just trying to remember the way that we had kind of done that. Is this a change to the way we've done something in the last couple of years, perhaps?
No, it's still the same process, but the fees are actually due at the time of building permit issuance. So you can come in to get your building permit once it's been approved, and then at that point, that's the point that you do need to pay the impact fees. You have the option of paying them prior to that. For example, at final plat approval, but I don't know of anyone that has ever done that.
I just remember we had the flow charts. We were talking about the best way to do it, and I thought it sounded as if, the way we had been doing it.
Right. This follows the same procedure. There are no impact fees paid during the development phase of the streets, utilities, and so forth, but for building permits, yes.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you. Paul, just a question about the conditions. It looked when I read through this that all the conditions of the city staff asked for the hearing examiner approved them, so it looked pretty standard.
Right.
And it just...
There were no changes from staff report to the hearing examiner.
That's what I saw. Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Council? Is there a motion to approve? Move to approve resolution number 009-2014, adopting the hearing examiner's finding of fact that there was law recommendation conditions of approval, approving the preliminary plat by PRD of chain link stakes, AL-2013-1.
So.
Councilmember Camp, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item we have on the agenda is Councilmember Hertz. Councilmember Gearing, we'll start with you and we'll work out.
Thank you. And then nothing's here. Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Camp.
Question, Mr. Fowler.
They started for
for things that burned out, they started doing it probably August of last year, and now they're also going through and doing all the streetlights starting, I think it's in East County and working west, and we're what the first cities are doing, so they should all be getting the LEDs fairly soon. And we also did downtown streetlights that the city owns, Main Street, we updated those to LEDs last year from the HPS that we've been before.
Of course, I didn't notice those, but I did notice one in front of my house. It's not quite as glaring.
Well done, so it really looks like it.
And then a big request to the council regarding the darkness underneath the I-42 overpass, and they put in the former streetlights there, those are all that we can sell, so.
That's all, thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen?
Quickly, just another exciting and successful Easter egg hunt, well attended. My family had a great time as always, so glad to see it keep going.
Councilmember Cutler?
I was also at the egg hunt, so Tiffy did a great job. Denise, really kudos to her, and she was there running around that day and planning everything, and it went off without a hitch, and the weather held up until later during my son's soccer game. And then this morning I went to Everett Community College Foundation breakfast, and it was a great breakfast and very moving because the college was great, and we had a contingency from East County and Sky Valley, two tables, and we had two gentlemen get up, and they were veterans who were attending the college, and it was just very inspirational, very moving, and I increased my donation. The college does some great work in really helping veterans get a new start, so it was pretty inspirational. And Sunny Kobe Cook, if you haven't heard her speak, she's really funny and did a great job inspiring the crowd to give more, so that was good. So that's it.
Councilmember
Manford?
Yes, I was on Fremont Street. A little bit ago, I dropped off my daily paper and was loving the looks. It looks amazing. The street, the sidewalk, the trees. Great job. Great job.
Anything else? Chief?
Nothing to see.
Okay. Mr. Propelka?
A couple things. Exciting news that we have hired another planner. A young man who's been in the Baco several years, and he's worked in the Woodville before that, but he's going to be starting in May 5th. So I think he'll be able to get the ground right, a good fit. He was a very interview panel for all of us, virtually unanimous in our debate. So let's work for that. What about 2015 update? Mr. Hanford left, but a little conflict. May 1st is our Parks workshop for the comp plan at the middle school. Reminder, that starts at 6:30. Otherwise, a couple of playoffs coming up this comp tire tomorrow. And a couple weeks down the road, a pre-op for a subdivision, I'm going to call it the former driving range, north side of Curry, which is being proposed by Rick Hansen.
Lots of other things going on, as usual. Good. Thank you. Mr. Feilberg.
Just we're out to bid on the chain link road with North Kelsey Roundabout. So that'll be getting underway in the result. That's all.
And routes, sorry.
Oh. When are we going to free up Kelsey there?
So we can open it back up so there's some place for pedestrians to go, and then they have to do the crosswalk across Kelsey Street. So it'll be a few more weeks.
A few more weeks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor.
So, we're going to have notice about lanes and construction and things like that?
Yes.
Okay. For the roundabout. Okay. So that's going to be an impact to those of you, and there are a few of you that live on the north end of town. Just want to make sure there's adequate notice. The Hill Street, where are we with Hill Street right now, the reconstruction?
Hill Street is out to bid also.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. Hill Street is going out to bid on the 29th.
Okay.
But the project is going to start on May 5th, probably. We broke it out so we can get the water line done, so we're going to leave it open all winter. So the water line of Blakely Street starts on May 5th. It's supposed to be done June 16th, which is about the time that we'll get to 2 weeks later now. So about the end of June is when we'll start doing the work on East Hill Street and then the rest of Hill, and then finishing May completely. So that would be a similar thing to Fremont. We'll be doing the pervious pavement, parking strips, parking lanes, and most of the sidewalks that need to be replaced will be replaced with pervious pavement.
And that's connected then with doing improvements on Lacour and Lewis Street as well.
And then the next grant is the Lewis Street ones for the same thing, from the alley south of Hill Street down to McDougal, I think it is. And that'll be next year's construction season.
And then one other question, sorry. I received some correspondence, and you and I corresponded just a little bit about it. When DOT came through and redid the ADA accessible corners along Lewis Street on 203 south of the downtown, and I received a photograph of one of those underwater, about 2 inches of water, because there isn't adequate drainage. One of the things that DOT has been doing to our city over time is when they go to repair or do maintenance on 203, they seem to be adding more and more asphalt. The effect is that we have issues with drainage. We also have areas in town where there is no curb. When I met with the chamber this last weekend, in fact, one of the business owners of the downtown said, mentioned that he wondered why people kept bumping into the utility instead of right there on the sidewalk. And the reason for that is that there is no curb, and there's a curb like this, for example, along Adams on the west side, you know, where the main entrance is. So I've asked staff to look into that. I understand that there shouldn't be water ponding at an ADA accessible crosswalk like that. And further, I don't think that our city deserves the short end of the stick. Sometimes, you know, I've heard rumors, true or not, I don't know, that from time to time we'll save money on one project and shift the saved money over to other projects. I don't know if that occurred here, but I think it's appropriate to expect that there be a grind down of our roads and maybe repairs so that we maintain our curbs, maintain our drainage, and don't have water ponding on sidewalks and crosswalks and things like that. So I'm very happy that our staff, first looking into that, but second, we're doing improvements in the downtown where we aren't cutting corners like that. And I just wanted to let everybody know, if you have heard anything about that we're looking into it, and hoping that we can get on a different program with the state where, you know, they maintain our sidewalks and our stormwater handling systems and whatnot. So anyway, anything else for Brad? Okay. Nothing tonight. Well, thank you. Gene, what have you got?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a bit of a little more detail on Discount Tire. As also knows, there's other details we're working on as part of their due diligence, and staff is going to let them know that the two mark due diligence and the other issues that we're working on, and we are making progress. The other thing that's happened around City Hall, if you haven't noticed, we're under a bit of construction here in preparation for the municipal court. Staff's been doing that. The closet here, this wall, will get pushed out just a bit, and that will be a room for the adjournment. And also give council the opportunity to potentially recess there for executive sessions if that works out. And then directly through the door out in the foyer that goes into the hallway there, that'll be replaced with a bulletproof door with a service window in it
for staff to collect fees for any fines that are paid. And then just inside, there will be some new walls going up for the court staff to house. So that's what's happening there. I don't know if there's anything else to add to that, but staff has done some moving internally to make room for that. So that's it.
All right. Let me just go through my list and we'll come back to the extended agenda. First, just as a reminder, we have the manufacturer's pipeline / summit this Thursday. Last count, are we at about 30?
Just over 30
RSVPs. That includes people that have businesses in the manufacturing park, as well as people from the Everett Community College and other agencies. I'm hoping that more people will want to be there, perhaps end up RSVP'd. And anyway, if you all want to attend, please let Jean or Liz know this evening or early tomorrow, just so we can make certain we've got a head count. Okay. The next item that we have, last week I had a meeting on the lunch with the mayor with the chamber. We talked a lot about the downtown, the improvements that you all have authorized for the downtown, the road improvements, including Hill Street and Lowe Street and Fremont that happened last year. We also talked about different things that the board would like to see in the downtown, like replacing the garbage, simple things like replacing the garbage cans and the flower pots and the benches. So we're doing some research on how we can put things together to do some of those simple improvements in the downtown too. The next item I just wanted to touch on, agendas. When it comes time to make a motion, we're getting into real like administrative mechanics here. When it comes time to make a motion, you make a motion where you read a really long paragraph, and sometimes a council member might go ahead and push a button for the neighbor to read it. If I work with Liz, would you be okay with shortening the amount that you read, if there's a way for us to do that, or do you mind reading those longer requests as motions? Councilmember Kim?
Don't we have to read a motion? Someone has to read a motion. I would just assume read it.
Sounds good.
Okay,
not a problem. The last item I have on our list is when I began office back in January, one of the things I had met with each of you and had expressed an interest in meeting with you on a fairly regular basis. I sent off an email to each of you a few weeks ago, and I have met with a few of you, and I've got scheduled with Councilmember Camp later this week. And I know that everybody gets busy, totally understandable, but just a reminder that that if you'd like to meet with me, just go ahead and send me an email, and I'd be happy to meet with you sometime and just see how things are going and see what your thoughts are and everything, okay? I think that's all I have for right now. Oh, last thing, there is no meeting next week. Please take note, it's the fifth Tuesday, but because you won't be meeting here next week, you can spend your night at the park comp plan update meeting on that Thursday.
May 1st,
okay, at Park Place. That's 6:30. All right. Jean, why don't we go over next week?
Okay. Draft agenda for May 6th, 2014. Announcements and presentations. Carrie's food drive. We have another proclamation of Building Safety Month. We have the consent agenda.
New business.
Agenda for May 13th, 2014.
Does anybody have any questions or requests for the May 6th agenda in 2 weeks? Seeing none, extended agenda. Does anybody have any additions or requests for the extended agenda, again noting that we did add canceled for May 27th. That's the day after Memorial Day. Okay.
Seeing none. Gene, do you have anything else?
Yes.
That's it. There being no other business this evening, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment. Councilmember Herring?
So moved.
Second. Okay, I have a motion to adjourn. Councilmember Herring, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. All in discussion, seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, and see you in 2 weeks.